Welcome to day 210 of my Everyday Bible with Rita Langland. Today we are reading in the book of Isaiah, and we will begin at Isaiah 49 and end today in chapter 53. And chapter 53 holds some of the richest messianic prophecies ever written in the entire Bible. Isaiah prophesied more than 700 years before the birth of Christ, and yet what we will find written in Isaiah chapter 53 is a profound description of the purpose for which the Messiah, Jesus Christ, came to the earth, what his purpose was, what he accomplished, and how he bore on his own physical body our sins and sickness and atoned for them through his death on the cross. Imagine Isaiah had this revelation from the Lord a full seven centuries before it even came to pass. So you will listen, I believe, with great interest to that 53rd chapter, because it's quoted in the Gospels with a specific reference to Jesus fulfilling what Isaiah the prophet said about him bearing our sicknesses. So we'll get to that at the very last chapter that we'll read today, Isaiah 53. We're reading today from the Amplified Bible, so beginning at Isaiah chapter 49 and starting at verse 1. Listen to me, O isles and coastlands, and hearken, you peoples from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb. From the body of my mother he has named my name. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand has he hid me and made me a polished arrow. In his quiver has he kept me close and concealed me. And the Lord said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, you who strive with God and with men and prevail, in whom I will be glorified." Then I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and in empty futility. Yet surely my right is with the Lord, and my recompense is with my God." And now, says the Lord, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him and not be swept away, "For I am honorable in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength." He says, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of the judgments of Israel. I will also give you for a light to the nations, that my salvation may extend to the ends of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, Israel's Holy One, to him whom man rejects and despises, to him whom the nations abhor, to the servant of rulers. Kings shall see you and arise, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable and favorable time I have heard and answered you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. And I will preserve you and give you for a covenant to the people, to raise up and establish the land from its present state of ruin, and to apportion and cause them to inherit the desolate, moral wastes of heathenism, their heritages, saying to those who are bound, 'Come forth,' and to those who are in spiritual darkness, 'Show yourselves, come into the light of the Sun of Righteousness.' They shall feed in all the ways in which they go, and their pastures shall be not in deserts, but on all the bare grass-covered hills. They will not hunger or thirst, neither will mirage mislead or scorching wind or sun smite them, for he who has mercy on them will lead them, and by springs of water will he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways will be raised up. Behold, These shall come from afar, and behold, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim, China. Sing for joy, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord has comforted his people, and will have compassion upon his afflicted. But Zion, Jerusalem, her people as seen in captivity, said, "The Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me." And the Lord answered, "Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yes, they may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have indelibly printed, tattooed a picture of you on the palm of each of my hands, O Zion. Your walls are continually before me. Your children and your builders make haste. Your destroyers and those who laid you waste go forth from you. Lift up your eyes round about and see the returning exiles ready to rebuild Jerusalem. All these gather together and come to you. As I live, says the Lord, you, Zion, shall surely clothe yourself with them all as with an ornament and bind them on you as a bride does. For your waste and desolate places and your land, once the scene of destruction, surely now, in coming years, will be too narrow to accommodate the population, and those who once swallowed you up will be far away. The children of your bereavement, born during your captivity, shall yet say in your ears, 'The place is too narrow for me. Make room for me that I may live.' Then Zion, you will say in your heart, 'Who has borne me all these children, seeing that I lost my offspring and am alone and barren and unfruitful, an exile put away and wandering hither and thither? And who brought them up? Behold, I was left alone, put away by the Lord my husband. From where then did all these children come?' Thus says the Lord God, 'Behold, I will lift up my hand to the Gentile nations and set up my standard and raise high my signal banner to the peoples, and they will bring your sons in the bosom of their garments, and your daughters will be carried upon their shoulders. And the kings shall be your foster fathers and guardians, and their queens your nursing mothers. They shall bow down to you with their faces to the earth and lick up the dust of your feet. And you shall know with an acquaintance and an understanding based on and grounded in personal experience that I am the Lord. For they shall not be put to shame who wait for, look for, hope for, and expect me. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captives of the just be delivered? For thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty will be taken away, and the prey of the terrible will be delivered. For I will contend with him who contends with you, and I will give safety to your children and ease them. And I will make those who oppress you consume themselves in mutually destructive wars, thus eating their own flesh, and they will be drunk with their own blood, as with sweet wine. And all flesh will know, with the knowledge grounded in personal experience, that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob." Chapter 50. Thus says the Lord, "Where is the bill of your mother's divorce, with which I put her away, O Israel? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities you were sold, and for your transgressions with your mother put away. Why, when I came, was there no man? When I called, why was there no one to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem, or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a desert. Their fish stink because there's no water, and they die of thirst. I clothe the heavens with the blackness of murky storm clouds, and I make sackcloth of mourning their covering. The servant of God says, The Lord God has given me the tongue of a disciple and of one who is taught, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as a disciple, as one who is taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I have not been rebellious or turned backward. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to those who plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God helps me. Therefore have I not been ashamed or confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He is near who declares me in the right. Who will contend with me? Let us stand forth together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Behold, they all will wax old and be worn out as a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who is among you who reverently fears the Lord, who obeys the voice of his servant, yet who walks in darkness and deep trouble and has no shining splendor in his heart? Let him rely on, trust in, and be confident in the name of the Lord, and let him lean upon and be supported by his God. Behold, all you enemies of your own selves, who attempt to kindle your own fires and work out your own plans of salvation, who surround and gird yourself with momentary sparks, darts, and firebrands that you set aflame, walk by the light of your self-made fire and of the sparks that you have kindled for yourself, if you will. But this shall you have from my hand. You shall lie down in grief and in torment. Chapter 51. Hearken to me, you who follow after rightness and justice, you who seek and inquire of and require the Lord, claiming him by necessity and by right. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the hole in the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For I called him when he was but one, and I blessed him and made him many. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her. Thanksgiving and the voice of song or instrument of praise. Listen to me, the Lord, O my people, and give ear to me, O my nation, for a divine law will go forth from me, and I will establish my justice for a light to the peoples. My rightness and justice are near, my salvation is going forth, and my arms shall rule the peoples. The islands shall wait for and expect me, and on my arm shall they trust and wait with hope. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall be dissolved and vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner, like gnats. But my salvation shall be forever, and my rightness and justice and faithfully fulfilled promise shall not be abolished. Listen to me, you who know rightness and justice and right standing with God, the people in whose heart is my law and my instruction. Fear not the reproach of men, neither be afraid nor dismayed at their revilings. For in comparison with the Lord, they are so weak that things as insignificant as the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my rightness and justice and faithfully fulfilled promise shall be forever, and my salvation to all generations. Zion now cries to the Lord, the God of Israel. Awake, awake, put on strength and might, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days, as in the generations of long ago. Was it not you who cut Rahab, Egypt, in pieces, who pierced the dragon, symbol of Egypt? Was it not you who dried up the Red Sea, the waters of the great deep, who made the depths of the sea a way for the redeemed to pass over? Why then are we left so long in captivity? The Lord God says, And the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing to Zion. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. I, even I, am he who comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid of man who shall die, and of a son of man who shall be made as destructible as grass? That you should forget the Lord your Maker, who stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and fear continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor when he makes ready to destroy, or even though he did so? And where is the fury of the oppressor? The captive, exile, and he who is bent down by chains shall speedily be released, and he shall not die and go down to the pit of destruction, nor shall his food fail. For I am the Lord your God, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar, and who by rebuke restrains it. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in your mouth, and have covered you with the shadow of my hand, that I may fix the new heavens as a tabernacle, and lay the foundations of a new earth, and say to Zion, You are my people. Arouse yourself, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, you who have drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his wrath. You who have drunk the cup of staggering and intoxication to the dregs. There is none to guide her among all the sons she has borne, neither is there anyone to take her by the hand among all the sons whom she has brought up. Two kinds of calamities have befallen you, but who feels sorry for and commiserates you? They are desolation and destruction on the land and city, and famine and sword on the inhabitants. How shall I comfort you, or by whom? Your sons have fainted. They lie like corpses at the head of all the streets, like an antelope in a net. They are full from drinking of the wrath of the Lord, the rebuke of your God. Therefore, now hear this, you who are afflicted, and you who are drunk, but not with wine, but thrown down by the wrath of God. Thus says your Lord, the Lord and your God, who pleads the cause of his people, Behold, I have taken from your hand the cup of staggering and intoxication, the cup of my wrath you shall drink no more. And I will put it into the hands of your tormentors and oppressors, those who said to you, Bow down, that we may ride or tread over you. And you have made your back like the ground and like the street for them to pass over. Chapter 52. Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into you the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake yourself from the dust. Arise. Sit erect in a dignified place, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the bonds of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus says the Lord, You were sold for nothing, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus says the Lord God, My people went down at the first into Egypt to sojourn there, and many years later Sennacherib the Assyrian oppressed them for nothing. Now I delivered you from both Egypt and Assyria. What then can prevent me from delivering you from Babylon? But now, what have I here, says the Lord, seeing that my people have been taken away for nothing? Those who rule over them howl with joy, says the Lord, and my name continually is blasphemed all day long. Therefore my people shall know what my name is and what it means. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he who speaks. Behold, I am. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good tidings, who publishes peace, who brings good tidings of good, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Hark, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they sing for joy, for they shall see eye to eye the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth joyously, sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people, he has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has made bare his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, revealing himself as the one by whose direction the redemption of Israel from captivity is accomplished. And all the ends of the earth shall witness the salvation of our God. Depart, depart, go out from there, the lands of exile. Touch no unclean thing. Go out of the midst of her, Babylon. Cleanse yourselves and be clean, you who bear the vessels of the Lord on your journey from there. For you will not go out with haste, nor will you go in flight, as was necessary when Israel left Egypt. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. Behold, my servant shall deal wisely and shall prosper. He shall be exalted and extolled, and shall stand very high. For many, the servant of God became an object of horror. Many were astonished at him. His face and his whole appearance were marred more than any man's, and his form beyond that of the sons of men. But just as many were astonished at him, so shall he startle and sprinkle many nations. And kings shall shut their mouths because of him, for that which has not been told them they shall see, and that which they have not heard shall they consider and understand. Chapter 53. Who has believed, trusted in, relied upon, and clung to our message of that which was revealed to us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been disclosed? For the servant of God grew up before him like a tender plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, royal kingly pomp, that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected and forsaken by men, a man of sorrows and pains, and acquainted with grief and sickness, and like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we did not appreciate his worth or have any esteem for him. Surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God, as if with leprosy. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him, and with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has made to light upon him the guilt and iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, yet when he was afflicted, he was submissive and opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who among them considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken to his death for the transgression of my, Isaiah's people, to whom the stroke was due? And they assigned him a grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death. Although he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief and made him sick. When you and he make his life an offering for sin, and he has risen from the dead in time to come, he shall see his spiritual offspring. He shall prolong his days, and the will and pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the fruit of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge of himself, which he possesses and imparts to others, shall my uncompromisingly righteous one, my servant, justify many and make many righteous, upright and in right standing with God. For he shall bear their iniquities and their guilt with the consequences, says the Lord. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, kings and rulers, and he shall divide the spoil with the mighty. Because he poured out his life unto death, and he let himself be regarded as a criminal, and be numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore and took away the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors, the rebellious. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's devotional, I want to focus completely on Isaiah 53 because it is so rich with all these prophecies about the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ, and how these prophecies are fulfilled and talked about in the New Testament. I'll go through them quickly because our scripture reading was long today, but I think you'll find it fascinating to see how literally line upon line these prophecies written by Isaiah the prophet more than 7 centuries before they were fulfilled actually came to pass perfectly and exactly in the life of Jesus. Isaiah 53 started out by these words asking basically a rhetorical question: who has believed our report? And then in John 12, the Gospel of John, verses 38 and 37, we find these words: even though he, Jesus, had done so many miracles before them, right before their eyes, yet they still did not trust in him and failed to believe in him. So that what Isaiah the prophet said was fulfilled: Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? So right there we begin in the very first verse, and we find out that Jesus, this prophecy of no one actually believing the testimony of Jesus, the Messiah, when he came to the earth, actually came to pass in Jesus' life. The religious leaders of Jesus' day did not believe that he was the Messiah, even though he was walking right with them and they were seeing them with their own eyes and seeing all the miracles he was doing. Secondly, Isaiah 53 verse 3 says that he was despised and rejected by men. In the very first chapter of John, we see that this gospel writer said these words in the 10th and 11th verses. He said he, referring to Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. And then in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus was talking to his disciples about himself as the Messiah, and he said, but first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. So we see this confirmation of this second messianic prophecy that he was despised and rejected by men fully played out in Jesus' life. And then in the fourth verse of Isaiah 53, we heard that he bore our infirmities, which is regard to sicknesses. It said he bore our griefs, and it means infirmity and sickness. And in Matthew 8, verse 16 and 17, we hear this amazing passage. It says, "When evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." So the gospel confirms in the life of Jesus what Isaiah the prophet had prophesied more than 700 years earlier. In Isaiah 53, also in verse 4, it says that the Messiah would be considered smitten by God, as if God himself had done this thing to him of him being nailed to that cross. In Luke 23:35, we see this verse, "And the people stood by looking on," and it's reference to Jesus hanging on the cross. "And even the rulers were sneering at him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself if this is the Christ of God, his chosen one." So we see that the people were thinking he wasn't really the Messiah, and that actually he was getting his just due for being an ungodly person. That was why he was on that cross. But of course that was not true, but that was what was prophesied. And then also in Galatians 3:13, it says, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." So this scripture that's prophesied that people would think that he was being smitten by God himself rather than him being the Messiah certainly came to pass in Jesus's life. Then in the fifth verse of Isaiah 53, it says, "He was wounded for our transgressions." Romans 4:25 confirms this prophecy as being directly a word about Jesus when it says, "He who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification." And that's what Isaiah was prophesying, that he would be wounded for our transgressions. Then in Isaiah 53 verse 5, it says that we are healed by his stripes. In other words, those whip marks that were inflicted upon the body of the Messiah, that by those we would receive our healing. And then in 1 Peter 2:24, it confirms that exactly. It reads, "And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness." And then here's the part, "For by his wounds you were healed." And his wounds were those 39 stripes or whip marks that were made across his back. And with those marks, by bearing that for us, we could receive physical and spiritual and emotional healing by putting our trust in that work of Christ. And the gospel accounts of the crucifixion, both in Mark, Luke, and John, all talk about Jesus being whipped or flogged at the order of Pilate. We find it in Mark, the 15th chapter, and the 15th verse, it says, "Wishing to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas for them, and after having Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified." And that word scourged means whipped with the cat of nine tails, which when it would be beaten upon the body of the person receiving the scourging, it had metal attached to long leather pieces that caused the metal pieces to dig into the skin. It was extremely painful, and he received 39 lashes with that weapon of torture. And this was a perfect fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy that the Messiah would be flogged or scourged. In the 7th verse of Isaiah 53, you heard it read that he was silent before his accusers, like a lamb is silent before the shearers. And we know from the gospel accounts that when he was questioned repeatedly by both Herod and Pilate, he'd said that he answered him not a word. And so he was silent before his accusers, just as prophesied by Isaiah. In Isaiah 53:8, it was prophesied that the Messiah would die for our sins. And in 1 Corinthians 15:3, Paul the Apostle wrote that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, which is exactly the Scripture in Isaiah. The very next verse in Isaiah, verse 9, gives us two prophecies. One, that the Messiah would die with the wicked and be buried with the rich. And the Gospels tell us he was crucified between two thieves, fulfilling the prophetic word that he would die with wicked people and that he would be buried with the rich. And we read in the Gospel account that Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man who believed in Jesus as the Messiah, buried Jesus's body in his own new tomb. There are several others, but we will finish with those just as a point that Isaiah the prophet was so prophetically accurate when he spoke about the Messiah suffering as a humble servant for the sins of all people, and with very great detail he prophesied about him being flogged, about him being buried in a rich person's tomb, about being dying with wicked people, hung between two thieves, and so many different parts of the crucifixion are described in this amazing book of Isaiah, but especially in this 53rd chapter. And I just wanted to show you how in the Old Testament, the New Testament is concealed. So you could say hidden in the Old Testament are these amazing New Testament truths. And then when you get to the New Testament, what was in the Old Testament is revealed. And so they work hand in hand and they confirm one another, both the old and the new. And we get revelation about the Lord and how he operates by knowing the whole Bible. And that's why it's important for us as New Testament believers to still read and study the Old Testament so we can get a full revelation of God and his ways. But I love how Isaiah prophesied so accurately the particular details about Christ's suffering for us and carrying the sins and sicknesses of all people, bearing them on his body on that tree for us so that we might be healed, spirit, soul, and body. And that is the good news of the gospel. God bless you and give you a victorious week.